Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. From time to time, we select some Facebook questions or social media questions in general that are interesting and that are worthy of discussing on the air. This question comes on Facebook from Dawn, who asks, since it's impossible to get something from nothing, everything created would have a source in God's power, right? What does it mean to say that God created ex nihilo? A very poignant question by Dawn. And let me first say what ex nihilo actually means, or out of nothing. What is this? Well, it's actually a doctrine that posits that an eternally existing God created the universe out of nothing at all, that all that exists except God was created by God a finite time ago, and that finite realities such as space and time, matter and energy don't emanate from the essence of God. And thus creation is neither divine, nor is creation a derivative of God's essence. So let me put that simply. The God of all that exists freely chose to speak, and the cosmos leapt into existence. I love the way the Nicene Creed puts this. We recite this every single Sunday. I believe in one God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth and of all things, visible and invisible. Of course, it is sort of sad that the notion that God created everything from nothing has today fallen on hard times. A really surprising number. Philosophers and theologians are now dogmatically contending that creation ex nihilo, again, creation out of nothing, has no biblical support. And not only that, you have leading Mormon apologists who overtly contend that matter has coexisted eternally with God. And this despite the reality that the opening words of the Bible say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And of course, that statement dictates creation ex nihilo. And of course, Mormons consider the Bible part of their quad. The problem is that they only believe in the Bible insofar, in their opinions, the Bible is correctly translated. And therein lies the rub. I think what I ought to say further in response to Don's question is that there are only three options, and that makes it kind of easy to remember. Two of them don't make any sense. The first option is the idea that in the beginning, nothing existed, neither mass nor energy, not even the Almighty. But logic screams that nothing comes from nothing, nothing ever could. The second is the untenable notion that something existed, but that something was an impersonal potentiality out of which every potentiality from protein molecules to personal mind emerged. That idea, however, hardly advances the proverbial ball. As common sense would have it, every effect must have a cause equal to or greater than itself. So that leaves us with only one possibility that makes any sense out of reality. And that is the scriptural contention that the universe was created by an uncaused first cause greater than itself. Time, space, the universe have not always existed, but God has always existed, and God's existence is the cause for the existence of everything else that exists. So while science demands that the universe had to have a beginning, nothing philosophically or scripturally demands that the cause of the universe had to have a beginning. I love what the Apostle Paul says in Hebrews. He says, by faith, of course, he was not talking about a blind faith, but a faith grounded in evidence. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So did God create everything out of nothing? Absolutely. The very first sentence of the Bible demands it. And in an age of scientific enlightenment, we can abide nothing else. Great Facebook question from Don. Of course, you can send in your questions via Twitter or Facebook or any social media avenue, and we'll be happy to consider them for answers on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I also want to mention something about Christmas coming up. This is in tandem with a question that I got about the days of the week, whether or not they're named after pagan gods. I answered that question, I think, on yesterday's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. But this raises a common concern, and I get this concern. It's brought up every single year regarding the validity of celebrating Christ's coming. And that concern is that when Christmas was originally instituted, December 25th was a pagan festival, that commemorated the birthday of a false god. And therefore, as Christians, we should not be celebrating Christmas. Now, the first thing I would say in this regard is this is a historical fact. This was a pagan festival. But what is frequently overlooked is the reason that the early Christian church chose December 25 as the day of celebration. The purpose was not to Christianize a time of pagan revelry. It was to establish a rival celebration. And therefore, Christmas was designated a spiritually edifying holiday, and by the way, holiday, denotatively holy day, it was designated as this edifying holy day on which to proclaim the supremacy of the Son of God over superstitions concerning such gods as Saturn and Sol Invictus. Now, while the world has all but forgotten the Greco-Roman gods of antiquity, every single year, this time of the year, they're reminded that 2,000 years ago, Christ, the hope of all humanity, Christ invaded time and space. And as Christians, we actually perceive an even greater reality. Each year, as we celebrate the first advent, or the first coming of Jesus Christ, we are simultaneously reminded of the second appearing in which the old order of things will pass away and Christ our Lord, he will put all things to right. You know, I love what the prophet Zechariah said in this regard. He said, "Shout and be glad, O daughter of Zion, for I am coming, and I will live among you, declares the Lord. Many nations will be joined with the Lord in that day and will become my people. I will live among you, and you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you." My question is always the same every year. If you can't celebrate that, pray tell, what can you celebrate? Should we be involved in the paganism of Christmas? Absolutely not. But should we use it as a springboard or an opportunity to communicate the truth of Christ? Yeah, it's a great opportunity every single year at this time. We are coming to a station break. We will be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial again is mentioned, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And do remember the resource, The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, you can find on the web. It's available for those who support the ministry. Check it out at equip.org.
The Call of the Cosmos, What the Universe Reveals About God, is a film that you can watch again and again, using it as a tool to touch the lives of others in a truly transformational way. Whether it be for a believer or skeptic, it's hard to imagine a more meaningful gift as we head into the Christmas season. To receive a copy of The Call of the Cosmos, What the Universe Reveals About God, for yourself or as a gift to a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be back in a moment. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Call of the Cosmos is an unforgettable exploration of God and the universe. This fascinating film begins with a voyage from Earth to the edge of the observable universe, 45 billion light years away. Through a series of visually stunning vignettes, the filmmakers invite you to consider the origin and structure of the cosmos, along with our significance within it, the mysteries of solar eclipses, an agnostic astronomer's honest recognition of the supernatural designer, and the convergent revelations between nature and scripture. Produced by Illustra Media, this stunning new film provides incontestable evidence of a supernatural designer, putting atheists, agnostics, and philosophers alike on notice. To receive your copy of The Call of the Cosmos on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart.
Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks, Randy. The quote of the day in concert with my answer to Don's question about creation ex nihilo comes from the Apostle John, also known as John the Theologian. And if these words are not in your memory trace, you ought to put them there as quickly as possible. You know, the Apostle John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being. That has come into being." That, in concert with what we read in the Bible elsewhere, underscores this whole notion of creation out of nothing. In Colossians 1, for example, we read about Jesus Christ, that He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or rulers or powers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And then you might want to go on and memorize the rest of that passage where Christ is the head of the body, the church. And this is very, very important because you and I are part of that body. Let's go to the phone lines. Number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Herb in Charlotte, North Carolina, listening on WHVN. Hi, Herb.
Hello, Hank. God bless you.
Thank you.
I think I really liked your telecast. But I have a problem with, how can you say that the behemoth in the book of Job is not a dinosaur?
Yeah, well, I don't think that there's any warrant for saying that either from a literary, biblical standpoint or from the standpoint of looking at God's book of nature. And so I think what we have to do, and I've said this many times on the broadcast, we have to do science well, and we have to do scripture well. And I think if you look at the literary progression in the book of Job, where you have the reference to behemoth as well as to Leviathan, you see that there is a progression from creation to creatures to the cherub, who once ranked first in the order of creation. I think you know who I'm talking about, Satan. So to Job, the primal monster of the land, like the primal monster of the sea, was indomitable. But to Jehovah, behemoth and Leviathan were mere pets on a divine leash. And so in the literary progression of the Bible, what you have is a monster that is vanquished, a monster that is referred to as behemoth, a land monster, and Leviathan, a sea monster. Leviathan, the gliding serpent, Leviathan, the coiling, it's also called a coiling serpent. God is going to slay, the Bible says, the monster of the sea. So what's going on here is not a warrant at all for suggesting that dinosaurs are in view. They're not. In fact, what we need to do here is we need to interpret Scripture in light of Scripture. And when you do that, you see that this is clearly a personification of Satan. Because in Genesis, remember, Satan is presented as an alluring serpent, a serpent that tempts humanity to fall into lives of perpetual sin terminated by death. You go over to the Psalms and you see that Satan is portrayed as a multi-headed monster that opposes the purposes of God. Flip over to Isaiah, and he becomes a coiling serpent that emerges out of the primal waters, And then one of my favorite books of the Bible, Revelation. I wrote a book on how to read the book of Revelation in the sense in which it's intended, called The Apocalypse, Find Out What the Bible Really Says About the End Times. And The Apocalypse Code, Find Out What the Bible Really Says About the End Times and Why It Matters Today. In Revelation, you have Satan personifies as a red dragon. Who personifies the extremities of evil. Now, remember, dragons are the stuff not of theology, but rather of mythology. But they serve a literary purpose because, again, this becomes a personification of the extremity of evil. So the bottom line here of what I'm saying, Herb, is that Leviathan and Behemoth are not dinosaurs. They are personifications that illustrate a metaphysical reality. The mythology of the dragon underscores the reality of the devil. And that's what's going on in Job. That's what's going on in Isaiah. That's what's going on in the Psalms. And that's most certainly what's going on in the book of Revelation. And to ascertain all of that, it is a matter, again, of reading the Bible in the sense in which it's intended.
Oh, well, thank you. I highly respect your opinion and your thoughts. So I'll try to go by what you're saying and see if I can come up with the same answer.
Okay, and that's
thank
fair.
You for
and
your ministry.
Yeah, and well, thank you and appreciate your open mind because this is exactly, Herb's attitude is precisely the attitude all of us ought to have. We ought not to simply accept what someone is saying because they have a megaphone over the radio or on television or in some other social media platform. No, we are to do precisely what the Bereans did with respect to the Apostle Paul. If the Apostle Paul could be tested, and he didn't take umbrage at being tested. In fact, he said that the Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica because they daily examined the Scriptures to see if what Paul was saying corresponded to reality, seeing that the Word of God is the authority by which we ought to test all things and hold fast to that which is good. And I think what's also important, and I try to emphasize this as much as I can for my audience in general, is that the Bible is a literary masterpiece. This is certainly true with the very beginning of the Bible when you get to the book of Genesis. And oftentimes we understate its elegance. You see Moses at the very beginning. It's just brilliant. He interlaces a historical narrative with symbolism, and then he uses repetitive poetic structure. And then he employs the powerful elements of story. And by the way, this is precisely what you have in the book of Job. So you have characters and plot and tension and resolution. And all of that is necessary to set the foundation for the rest of redemptive revelation. So the very chapter that references the fall, well, of course, it also records the plan for restoration of fellowship, which is a plan that takes definition with God's promise to make Abraham a great nation through which all the peoples on earth will be blessed. And as such, Abraham's call becomes the divine antidote to Adam's fall. And yet, that's only a glimpse of the genius of Scripture. So at the very beginning in Genesis, you have a book that is forged so that the main message is not only easy to remember, but easy to recall. So how does Moses do that? Well, he opens with a literary mnemonic. He opens with a memory aid. And that memory aid is an aid by which we are daily reminded of God's creative prowess. So the first 6 days, they outline a hierarchy of creation which culminates in humanity. And that's what the story is all about, a true story. The story is all about humanity, the purposes of God for humankind. And those purposes are ultimately cashed out in theosis. They're ultimately cashed out in deification. God creates Adam in his image, but after his likeness. Adam was good, but Adam could progress. And this is a part of the literary masterpiece that is so often forgotten, lost in the wash, so to speak. Adam was able to progress, and this will be true for us when we are redeemed in heaven. We're going to learn and grow and develop, albeit without error, but much more than that. We are going to be more and more deified, more and more partakers of the divine nature, which is something that we ought to be engaged in the present, which is to say, God has provided a way by which our salvation takes us from glory to glory to glory, from one mountain peak to another. But we have to partake of the means by which that is possible, and that means is only available within the context of the body of Christ, the spiritual gymnasium, as I like to call it, the church, where we receive the graces that transform us, that cause us to be, as Peter put it, partakers of the divine nature. Well, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions are answered live on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. When you support the ministry prayerfully and financially, resources available. You can check them out on the web, equip.org. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Did you know that with each passing year, it's easier to find atheists in university philosophy departments than in physics departments? The reason is that physicists are increasingly unable to explain away the unfathomable intelligence that is becoming evident as science unfolds the exquisite fine-tuning of the universe. But atheist philosophers, often unburdened by the discoveries of science, are more inclined to dismiss discoveries that fail to fit a worldview allowing them to live as masters of the universe. The stunning film The Call of the Cosmos, What the Universe Reveals About God, provides incontestable evidence of a supernatural designer, and it's time that atheists and agnostics take notice. To receive your copy of The Call of the Cosmos on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.